Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled broadcast to bring you a terrifying auditory experience unlike anything you've ever heard. Big Papa Pete, Long Shot Ken, the Monkey Boy, and Den are proud to present the Loud Idiot Spooktoberfest.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a lovely Geektober night. Thank you for joining us. I'm Big Papa Pete.
I'm Longshot Ken.
With us, as often, is Radio's Frank.
That's me. I'm the guy.
Huzzah.
Well, come on, Frank. I mean, I think one of the reasons why you're hanging out with us tonight is because you heard what the topic of conversation is. We're going to be talking about
some fun
Halloween stuff.
That's not at all what I thought it was about.
What am I doing here?
Oh, that's strangely erotic. Right?
Yes.
We're talking about erotic toys and Halloween.
Strangely erotic.
Do I not know what the word erotic means? That's like when you're frightened by something?
It means having to do with Barack Obama.
I understand. No.
Erotic Barack Obama toys? What?
That's
a topic for another time.
Thank you
to last week's guest, Attica Wild.
And other guests.
check out last week's podcast for no more on that, but still a good podcast.
Mm.
Speaking of Attica Wild, who was on last week, Pete, you and I got to go and do something a couple days back. We got to hang out with Attica.
Yes, we did.
And we got to do a haunted house that I know you were really excited about.
I was very excited. I never get to do haunted houses.
So tell us a little bit about where we went.
We went to Brighton Asylum.
And that's here in Clifton.
Here in Clifton. Or in Passaic. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's right on the border. I don't really care which one it is.
But you've been talking about this for a long time.
I have.
Incessantly so.
It's like our big local haunted house. And it has been apparently rated near the top in a lot of national polls.
Yeah, I believe I remember seeing something on the Today Show last year.
Yep.
They went and covered it.
Been on a couple of the Travel Channel lists.
Right.
So people are coming from all over the country to come see this. Not from other countries, though. No foreigners in Clifton. That's a state ordinance or a city ordinance.
Native Americans only.
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And not too native.
No.
They're very particular.
So can we actually know something about the actual goddamn event?
Sure. Let's stop making fun of how bigoted our town is.
I know you've been wanting to go to this for a while, for a couple of years now.
Yeah. It's themed as an old abandoned asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Where horrible, torturous experiments were... shenanigans, I believe, is the medical term, were carried out. And now it's abandoned, but not entirely. It's populated by spooks and ghouls and other Michigots.
So what did you think of it going in for the first time?
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a good time. They got some world-class props and scares going on.
They did have some really cool... I liked the set dressing on a lot of these rooms. Pretty horrific. A lot of attention to detail in a lot of it. I liked the use of animatronics in it. There were some really cool, funky...
They didn't use any animatronics, Ken.
Oh, no. That was a real, dragon head at one point that came out and chomped and...
That didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to know where the rest of that giant was that had that huge hand that came in to grab people in a little room.
I don't want to give away too much.
No, but no, I liked how committed the actors were.
Yes.
We saw some really interesting characters in there. It was pretty cool. Some claustrophobia.
Yeah.
That wasn't entirely with your
claustrophobia.
Yeah, it wasn't that part wasn't my forte. Trying to figure out how to get through certain rooms.
Yeah. One thing they didn't warn you about is that if you are over about like 4 feet tall, you're going to have to duck and crouch.
A lot of it. Actually, a nice chunk of it, yeah.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like you're crouched down and walking for miles at a
and there's reasons for it too, though. It's not like it's just like, oh, here, you know, we have to.
Yeah, but you duck down on occasion, more than once.
So
you get to stand right back up afterwards. But
I haven't been to many like really creepy haunted houses. It does score pretty high up there for me though.
And I'll say it's a very satisfying length.
Yeah, we were in there for almost a half hour.
Yeah, a good half, depending on how quickly you're walking.
Yeah,
it could be a good half hour, 45 minutes takes you to get through both attractions. The I believe they're calling it the Tunnel of Terror or Tunnels of Terror, or just the tunnels, and the main asylum. And they have, we didn't get a chance to do it, but they also have these escape rooms, a special side attraction that you can do after you go through, where they end up locking you in a room and there are puzzles that you have to solve to get out.
Oh, neat.
And I can only assume they terrify you in the process.
Yeah. That would be kind of terrifying. It sounds interesting. Thinking about it, yeah.
You know, it's an extra cost, but.
So, but that, it was definitely like worth checking
definitely
out.
Worth it. Yeah. You know, if those things match the quality of the rest of the attraction, it'd definitely be worth it.
Yeah. So all in all.
Yeah. Good. All in all, very good.
And it had nothing to do, too, with also having the very vivacious Attica Wild hanging out with us as
vivacious,
we went through it.
Good word.
You know?
Yeah.
Who, surprisingly enough, I don't think she'll mind that I kind of out her on it. bit of a scaredy cat for someone that I thought was going to be like super eager to go into a haunted house.
You know what? You know what? She talked a big, I'm bad at haunted houses. I'm really scared, but I really want to go anyway. She talked that, but you know what? She knew what was what.
So
I'm going to say that. She was a lot braver than I thought she was going
to
be.
She was a trooper.
She was.
So we'll definitely have to do something again and actually have Frank have you come out. And
yeah, it would have been nice to have been given an invitation. Just because I happen to soil myself whenever I'm even remotely frightened.
You know what, Frank? We'll take you on one of their special nights.
I just soiled myself.
I know. They have...
I know.
A couple of nights...
I can smell.
A couple nights through the year, they've got hands-on nights.
Oh.
Where the actors can actually grab you, maybe separate you from your group.
I've told you about soiling myself, right?
After you've signed a waiver.
And all they right. also have one night at the very end, I believe it's November 1st this year, that's lights out. So you have to do the entire attraction in the dark.
That's kind of nuts because I wound up heading up our group and I wound up getting lost like once or twice during it, not realizing where we were supposed to be going. So that's got to be crazy.
I got to assume that they've got some extra people that are like making sure you don't take the wrong turn.
Yeah.
For that night.
So yeah, no, totally worth it. Now, Frank, didn't you say you were looking to take someone to a haunted house too?
Yeah, my nieces. Are creeps. They're little creeps, those kids.
I hate nieces to pieces.
It's true. And yeah, I was thinking about taking them to it. But I don't know yet. I don't know which one to go to.
Are they young, or I mean...
I'm not a very good...
judge?
I'm not a good uncle. I'm pretty sure there's a couple of them. They probably range. I'll say they range.
I don't care.
Some of them are young. Bring them to a cornfield let them worship the thing inside.
Bringing the six-year-old to the super scary.
Listen, I think there's this age where you are not terrified by anything. Like it's just goes right over your head. And then there's an age where you are just frightened. Like it's a communal fright. Like if you're with your friends and they're frightened, you'll pretend to be frightened. And that's the douchebag age. That's like junior high to high school. Those kids suck.
They do.
Awful. Awful children. Awful. Terrible people.
If any of you are listening.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not invited to this show.
Yeah.
Go
this
away.
This is a strictly high schooler show.
Yeah, no, we're the cool kids.
No, we're not. But yeah, I think that when you're young, you're more likely to kind of like, it depends on what age you are, but it can just sort of roll over you. And that's not always true. Sometimes when you're young, you're frightened by the stupidest things. Like the stupidest little things were just gruesome or terrifying. Like I remember...
Like Bat Dad.
A Bat Dad? No. Like I remember chasing my sisters with creepy crawlies. Which, you remember those? Those little wax... Not even wax, the, like... I think I remember my creepy crawlies weren't edible, but maybe
yeah, they were like a rubber type thing where they yeah. like had like the stickiness to it, and you yeah. would throw
so it's
it
like
on
an
wall.
Easy Bake Oven sort of
oh creepy crawlers you mean?
Creepy crawlers
yeah creepy oh, okay. crawlers
I don't know, but yeah, you poured like some sort of waxy substance in there, and then it became like a little slug or bug or
yeah.
or eyeball, and yeah, it seemed like no matter what it was, even if they saw me make it, they would run yeah. from me because it was supposed to be gruesome.
Yeah, it was,
and then that, later on you could eat them. So, like later generations of that toy, not like not later on when you're very hungry, you could eat the wax eyeball.
That was that was way back in the during the fad of screw you, make your own toys.
It's still around.
Make I'm your own toys, kid.
I occasionally see it. Did you have
I never,
anything like that?
I never had that. I had Monkey Boy, my brother and co-host, had the one where you got metal.
Oh yeah,
you could
pewter. Yeah,
you could die-cast the metal things.
That was
like,
a big one.
Oh my god! It's like yeah. this is an electric crucible you're giving to kids.
Yeah,
like
that's scary in a whole different.
Horribly way. Dangerous.
We rolled with it. We're fine.
Well, and they said the Easy Bake Oven was dangerous.
I have a...
See, I kind of like this. Let's keep going with this.
All right, so here's a toy that Ken and I were talking about earlier. I wonder if Pete...
Yes.
Hell, even Ken, can you recognize it from commercial alone? Take a listen.
Throughout time, people have asked, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Maybe it was a Manglore, like Manglore Demon. You can pretend to hatch Manglore Dragon and Manglizard, too. Eat sold separately in a make-believe egg. You can stretch them, squash them, take them apart. They'll return almost like new to their original form.
Does this sound familiar
so
to you at all?
Isn't that the capital of
the
Maine?
Manglore Demon, Manglore Dragon,
it's
and
probably
Manglizard.
Some
eat
city in Eternia.
From
Manglore, like, it was this big... It was this rubber toy that had, like, you could pull off its limbs.
Yeah.
And it looked like, they were obviously different models, and they looked like monsters. Yeah. Most of them looked like, the one I remember looked like a mummy. It was a mummy. It had this weird little thing, this little plastic, like jib you would put him in so he could stand up. It wasn't even like a torture device. It was just because he was so rubbery, there was slog over. That was terrifying to me. I don't know if I... Did you have that toy?
I did, and it's so funny because I remember having it for years, and when I tried to explain it to people, no one knew what the hell I was talking about, and I couldn't remember what it was called.
Right.
You know, but I had the green one where it was like a green kind of monster.
Yeah, it looked a little like a Gorn.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was terrifying about that for me, well, other than, you know, chase your sisters with it because it was wiggly.
Ah!
Was
girls hate wiggly things.
Yep. It what? Was because
what am I getting binged for?
Because
oh.
I was worried about dropping it on the carpet because then it would make it completely useless. Anything tacky, any toy that was tacky that put on like any kind of lint on it, that's it done.
No, like, but oh, your wacky wall walker is dead.
The one thing though that they did have in commercials later too, and it did have it on the packaging. You could wash it off, and it would still have the tactile. Because I actually happened to be, I had cat. I grew
it
up
wasn't
cats.
The same.
Yeah, it's still never the same. It's never the same, and especially if you're like anal retentive kid like I was. So yeah, that was awful, awful, awful. All right. I've got another toy from a previous conversation I would like to play the commercial for. And I want you guys to reminisce with me. Here's something horrible from your childhood. Won't you?
My pet monster.
He's bigger than big.
When he fights battles, he always wins.
And he's your friend, too.
He breaks his chains.
Put him on you
he
and
sounds like a douche.
With my pet
he's
monster,
bigger than big, though.
It's My Pet Monster, a child's first introduction to bondage.
He helps people, too.
And he's your friend, too.
My pet monster plays
first of all,
day.
No.
Awesome.
Looking great.
And all your friends will want him for their friend, too.
Hi, Pet Monster.
That's cool, though. In the commercial, there's like an army of kids who have them, and they're all like...
It looks like a predecessor to a scene from Child's Play with a bunch of kids with their dolls running around.
Well, I do believe this is... And this is, I'm not going to back this up with any research. But wasn't this from the same company that made My Buddy? I think so.
Oh, it may have
My
been.
Buddy, Kid so. Sister, and My Pet Monster. That sounds like it's true. It has truthiness to it.
Yes.
I don't know if it is true. I'm not going to look it up. I also thought that I have this strong memory of Howie Mandel being involved in this in some way.
You have conflated that with... The Littlest Monster.
Possibly, yes.
Which they were similar timed. The release of them was similarly timed, and the Littlest Monster that was it, right? The Howie Mandel movie.
Little Monsters.
That's it. That is still the reason. To this day, I can't drink apple juice.
Okay, right. I never saw it.
Oh, okay. If you know the scene.
But Frank, the
Lady Gaga actually directed Little Monsters.
No, but the other thing too, Frank, My Pet Monster had an animated series, so God knows. I mean, at that time, Howie Mandel was doing voiceover in animation.
Possible. It is possible. I see various episodes of the show on YouTube, which I will not play because I love you, audience.
It started off as a direct-to-video release that you could rent in video stores, and then the series came later.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could actually get it with toys in certain examples.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that started a long line. It didn't start, but it was a long line of toys that you, in the commercials, they showed you showing the toy to like adults or older siblings and them losing their goddamn minds. They're like, no! This toy I purchased for you, most likely. I can't fathom it. It's a monster. I don't understand why that was such a big deal, but it was especially
important for us for some reason.
to feel like we had power in our lives. Especially a big deal for this line, which I remember distinctly was marketed because it would disgust the people that purchased it for you.
Yeah.
Mad balls, gross for one, gross for all. We play with a mad ball. They're gross, funny, yucky, sick. Mad There's ball. Eight, so you can take your pick. Mm-hmm. We throw, catch, it's uh-oh fun. There's so much gross in every one. Freaky fun is what they're for. Mad There's ball. So much ugly, so much more. Gross for one, gross all right. for all.
How,
we play with
wow.
a mad ball.
How much money do you think the guy that wrote that jingle got?
You mean Dr. Dre, who wrote the original Mad Balls rap?
I thought so.
Yeah.
That sounded like also, some of his early work.
Also, truthiness.
No, that's clearly Tupac.
For those of you who don't know, it's a ball, and it's got a monster face on it or something.
And it's usually angry.
Yeah, it's either angry or insane looking or
thereby
gross.
Mad.
Yeah.
All right, how many of us actually had these?
I definitely had a couple of them, or I had the knockoffs, which were plentiful.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fake Mad Balls.
Yeah, I had a couple of the little tiny... Like, it was just like a textured rubber ball version of them.
Yeah, you know what? I think we may have gotten them from the same vending machine outside of, like, an Acme.
Yes, because same Acme.
Yeah, because you just, you know, for a quarter, you'd get a close enough to a Mad Ball, which, in defense of our folks, that's all we deserved. These things were not valuable in any
like,
way.
They were like spherical garbage pail kids.
I feel like they were, that's a good description of it. I feel like they were... An attempt to, like, if you had, like, a stereotypical movies dad who was like, you should go out and play sports ball, kid, and you stop it with all these movie monsters. You're like, I don't want to.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got this, Mad Ball thingy, and it's going to be the thing what I want, but I'm doing
Brooklyn.
The thing that you want me to do.
Yeah, when you were from Brooklyn as a kid. Yeah, that's all accurate.
He was playing stickball with him.
Yeah, I'll play some stickball with my Mad Balls, and what the hell is happening? But, yeah, these things. So what was the most memorable Mad Ball you have? I'm just curious. I wonder if we all are picturing the same Mad Balls.
Oh, wow.
I remember three.
Okay.
I remember the one that was an eyeball.
Oh, I forgot.
I had that one.
Yeah, right. That seemed to be like the most obvious one to make.
Yeah,
like, oh, okay,
sense.
It's just an eyeball.
Yeah.
Then there was the mummy.
The mummy is the one I remember. Yeah.
And then I remember one that was like, it was purple or something.
That was the other one I had.
And it had like, a horn it was like and a ring in its nose.
And rings all over the place. He was like the bondage demon Mad Ball.
Okay.
essentially.
We had very different childhoods, but yes.
There is a, I remember the baseball looking one. It was, I think it was even called Screaming Mimi. Because I've heard that phrase before. Like, and I think I knew the toy before I knew the phrase, and I still don't really know what the phrase means. But it's like, it's got like this big, huge mouth with a tongue sticking out.
Yeah.
And gap teeth and stuff. And then there was one who was like half rotten, but it wasn't like zombie. It was like he was just covered in pus.
Yeah, I had that one, and then I had
just covered in pus.
I had the one where it was like a zipper on the top of its head and its brain was exposed.
I forgot about that.
Like there's some, like, there were tropey ways of showing I'm a monster. A lot of it involved I have skin problems.
Yeah.
That was back in the day.
Well, back in that day, that was what it was. It was Jason and Freddy and, you know, all those guys had some horrible...
Jason had acne. That was all that was.
It was like that horrific facial distortion stuff and, you know.
Freddy suffered burns.
Speaking of distortion, and I don't really have any commercials for it. This might actually be, I don't want to play this blind, but one of my favorite toy lines from that period was from the real Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember this? All right. So
trying to figure out if this is where I'm where you're going.
Oh yeah, because I could think of one too.
The Ghostbuster toys were based on the movie, not on the cartoon show, which was based on like an earlier TV show.
Larry Storch.
It had nothing to do with Ghostbusters, the movie.
So you're not talking about the Ghostbusters toys. You're talking about the real Ghostbusters.
I'm talking about the real Ghostbusters
toys. The real Ghostbusters, which were the ones based on the cartoon, based on the movie.
Right.
Right.
We had Venkman and Egon.
Yeah, and all of them featured like people in like who were possessed. And they all like were distorted by some transformation sequence that happened with the toy. So like, you'd twist their
torso in their face. That was a specific line of ghosts. It was like the possessed pedestrians or something like that. It was.
No. I thought I had an actual period commercial. I'll look for one.
It's funny because I actually had another Ghostbuster toy that I love too. I actually had the projection proton pack.
That's cool. I wouldn't call that scary, though. That was just
expensive. It was cool because you could project the stuff on the wall, and there was a button on there that would kind of make them animate. Like, it would make them, like, the ghost, like, mouth moves like they were laughing, and it was kind of creepy. And
I feel like you could shoot it, too, right?
Well, it had the option, and it would give you the sound effects.
Here we go. These kids have no imagination. It's back to the bone. Give me out. Looks like you're really into him, Stan. Yep, that'd be Venkman making jokes. And that was revolting. Like, there was a ghost that had a bunch of... Like, there was a big thing in 80s toys. Like, package it with slime so you could ruin the toy.
Well, it was a slimer, too.
So that was pretty disgusting, but I didn't really call those terrifying because it was, like, part of the... I don't know. They weren't, like... I guess with the exception of the ones that where they vomit up slime... And that only affects your action figure.
I don't know. Some
it
of those
supposed to scare you.
Some of those were kind of scary, like the ones that were normal people that turned into ghosts.
Yeah, those are the ones I most remember. I think there was a football player who like he gets split in half. His head goes into his torso. And
his head. The torso becomes his head.
Yeah, those were.
There was a trash collector who puts the garbage can on his head, and now he's a monster.
Yeah, which is
they're more scary than I'm describing.
Yeah,
that granny was terrifying.
I don't remember the granny.
There was a grandmother who her eyes bugged out and her jaw just dropped.
Oh yeah,
it was like weird.
The whole anything that ends up looking like Large Marge from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, that's almost it was basically the closest you could get to a Large Marge action figure.
All right, here's a figure that this series I don't actually think is scary. But it did feature monsters heavily.
A hideous beast born in the core of fiery earth. A nightmare of terror. It's Metla, inhumanoid enemy of the earth core.
The best song.
Evil lurks within.
Metla! We're gonna get stomped!
Worst names. These toys were giants.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, this is the series that had that the tree with a face.
Oh yeah.
That like extended and
Yeah.
That was one of the scariest toys I remember growing up.
They have and I forgot the name of it, but there was one that was made out of slime, like a tentacled.
I was gonna say they basically made a Cthulhu monster, didn't they?
Yeah, it was an early Cthulhu. I want to see if they come up with a name. But the one I remember most, and we're talking over it, which is fine, is a character. Actually, this is the Tendril was the monster. So I've got two stories for this one. Overgrown octopus. And these toys were huge. They were like big. They were about at least a foot tall, I think.
These were crown jewels in your toy collection.
Tendril, I remember, I'm almost positive of this, and I want to look it up to make sure. But I believe Tendril was in, oh God, what's it? Bud Cort? Buddy, no. What's his name? Oh God. From Charles in Charge.
Buddy Lembeck.
Buddy Lembeck.
Willie Ames' character.
Willie Ames' character from Charles in Charge.
Was Buddy Lembeck. I assure you, I know this.
He had a tendril in a fish tank in his apartment.
I think you're right.
Yes.
I'm gonna confirm this right now. Tendril fish tank. That's not gonna help.
just look up Buddy Lembeck's apartment, and that's going to be the most terrifyingly accurate.
Yeah. So, anyway,
really horrifying.
It's weird that, like, as a kid, first of all, I was watching Charles in Charge, and I'm looking. I'm like, what?
That Are is you
the
kidding?
Best thing in the world. Why can't I have a tendril for my fish tank?
First of all, that makes complete sense because, come on, Nicole Eggert.
Well, yeah.
Well,
of course, you were watching Charles in Charge as a kid.
I feel disappointed that there isn't a blog dedicated to the fish tank from Charles in Charge. But if you have a screen cap of this, please share it with me and let me not go insane. But I'm almost positive of that. The second story
part of me is almost thinking it was actually on a bookshelf on a wall, like, or on a shelf on a wall.
Somebody had a Cthulhu monster in a fish tank.
I'm almost positive if Tendril was in a fish tank.
I'm almost imagining it in Joey Gladstone's little nook from Full House.
Oh, yeah.
No, that wasn't. I'm almost okay. But anyways, the other story I have for Inhumanoids is the monster that led it up was Decompose, I think is his name. Okay. Or that's at least what he would say when he would take people in the cartoon, which I remember very well because I rented it from Blockbuster Video.
Of course,
he would grab people and put them in his rib cage.
Oh yeah.
And they would decompose.
And they would decompose. He would rot them, but he would turn them into zombies, effectively. Yeah.
He would have to order them to do that.
Yes, he would say, decompose.
I have to verbally order you.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe not the most monstrous of figures in our childhoods, but...
But those were great. Those were ubiquitous monsters that you had.
Yeah.
Because they were so weird and, like, you didn't know how big they should be. Like, you didn't have a good size comparison that you could throw them up against any of your action figures.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, okay, that Cthulhu tendril is like a giant Lovecraftian horror when you throw it up against your G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, a slightly giant bad guy when you're putting him up against your He-Man.
Right.
And he's adorable if you have a big Godzilla, which was another big toy, monster toy you could have pretty much through decades worth
the
of
inflatable
stuff.
Godzilla?
You can still get them, I mean.
Yeah, of course. I've never had an inflatable Godzilla, but that seems like it's a wise creation.
Oh, yeah, they had the inflatable life-size Godzillas.
Not life-size.
Well, you're like a person life.
Okay.
So person size.
Like
person
actual life size Godzilla, like person in a rubber suit size Godzilla.
Oh, all right. That seems reasonable. Yeah. I had a friend who had like a 3 foot tall Godzilla, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the guy, but you know.
But oh, he so had the 3 foot tall Godzilla, so you still play with him.
No. That's the only reason.
This guy freaking hates you, but I will play with you because I need access to that Godzilla.
Right. All right. So there's a whole
G.I. Joe has to fight something giant, damn it.
Speaking of Godzilla, there's a whole range of toys that we are not talking about. Those are the toys that like predated our childhood, but were still...
Those don't
like,
matter.
No, I think they do because like for me, sometimes I got a lot of hand-me-down toy. So the one I got actually only recently, but I think I vaguely remember playing with a similar one when I was a kid, was the Yipes Pop-O-Matic board game. So you've played Trouble, right? The Pop-O-Matic bubble, right? It's a Trouble board game. It's a maze game. You chase around. You have a little Pop-O-Matic bubble in the middle. You roll a number, move those spaces, kill people by landing on their pieces. But this one had a rule change and was it a wolfman or was it a It was some sort of like universal monster. It could have been a Frankenstein. I actually don't remember which one it was, but the cover of the game, the box of the game, it's called Yipes, and it had all these old school universal monsters on it, but not from the films themselves, just like actors poorly done up, like fake Frankenstein. And it was more like SCTV Frankenstein and Dracula on the cover of the box.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're trying to sell a toy for kids. But I remember how cool that was because it was like Trouble's a big game for me and my family. And this game had a monster that chased people, and I loved it. What was it? What was that little figure? Oh, man. All right. Here it is. Here's a picture of it. I found it. That does look like it looks kind of like a Wolfman mummy. No, a Wolfman Frankenstein. That's what I'm going to go for.
A Wolfman Frankenstein. Now, what would that be? Would that be like a reanimated cadaver made up of portions of different Wolfmen?
I think it was a reanimated wolf and a reanimated man mixed together. And then you get a Frankenwolf.
Yes.
Wow.
Frankenstein wolf.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my vintage toy.
You know what? I've suddenly been reminded of one.
Oh, okay.
And this was the toy that I had that scared me more than anything else when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I was a really stupid kid.
Right.
But I had a toy shark. It was like this rubber shark. And it was like, soft, like floppy rubber.
It was like the kind that you would get at like a museum or something?
Not even. A museum would be ashamed to sell this.
Okay.
When you think about those museum replica ones, those are like hard plastic. You know, they're maybe they'll give you got a little bend to it. But this was like floppy rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Like slightly firmer than a wacky wall walker.
Okay, I'm getting a feel of what you're talking about.
And it was completely hollow on the inside. So it was, I'm sure most kids, like rational kids, were totally cool with feeding their G.I. Joes to it.
Makes sense.
Because it had this entire cavity inside. And it looked like about the right size to feed a G.I. Joe to. I was terrified of the thing. I would not put my finger in its mouth because I was afraid it was going to bite me.
Wow. What an idiot.
Yeah. And it's soft rubber little pointy teeth, but they scared me.
Wow.
I feel like if you can't identify a toy, it's more likely to be frightening. I think that's why dolls are frightening, or at least an aspect of why dolls are frightening in like movies, the creepy doll thing. It's because you're like, where, like, if it's from a toy franchise, I think it immediately loses its fangs, as it were. It's terror. But if it's just this, like, here's a creepy doll, it looks vaguely like you, and its eyes will not blink.
Or maybe they will.
Oh, awful. Awful.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, again, in going through Geektoberfest, I love kind of going over reminiscing about some of these old things, especially stuff that we grew up with, and we can talk about them again. Unfortunately, we may have to end the show on a little bit of a sad note. We actually lost a really good friend to the network and personally, Jess Pikarovsky. We knew her, of course, as Just Distress, burlesque extraordinaire from Brunswick Basement Burlesque.
Yes.
There was a lot of things that went on in the news. There were stories about her. We lost a great soul.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that might have been short in stature, but took no crap from anybody. very fiery, very, very lovable. It was hard after meeting her not to fall in love with her. And I just want to say that our hearts go out to her friends and family that are going through their loss right now. And as a tribute to her, I'd like to go and actually replay her first appearance on the show a little over a year ago. And we're going to have a drink in her honor and listen to it. And we're going to leave you here, but the show will sign off after the end of the run with Jess. So, guys, have a great night, and thanks for listening. All right, we are back, Loud Idiots Radio Show, and we've got the crew from Brunswick Basement Burlesque with us. Who do we have here with us tonight?
Sure, I'm Jess Distress, the evil mastermind behind Brunswick Basement Burlesque, and to my left we have...
I'm Blondie, I'm the MC for the show.
Very cool.
I'm Esmeralda May, I am one of the performers.
I'm Attica Wild, also known as the classy one of Brunswick Basement Burlesque.
Wait, what does that make me? Because Holly is not here, but she's also a nerdy one.
And I'm Wick, the whatever go-to comedy guy, I guess.
Well, that was convincing.
The resident.
This guy's hilarious.
All right, so you're gonna have to help me out because I'm not really into the whole burlesque thing. I've never seen a show before.
Shame on you.
Listen, it's on the bucket list. All right, I've never seen a show, but I've always been interested in the culture and the idea. Can you give us a little bit about what it is that you guys do?
Absolutely. Well, this specific troupe, we tend to run a little more. Well, the name is in itself, Brunswick Basement-y. We're not
a little more risque, maybe.
Yeah, we're not really like a too much of a traditional one. Like Attica said, she's the classy one. She does more of like the old school burlesque routines, and then we have Esmeralda and Holly, which Holly isn't here today. She's actually performing. She's going to win in a competition this evening, a burlesque competition.
Cool. We're all rooting for her.
She's in Philadelphia.
Nice.
And so the Holly and Esme, they do a lot of like cosplay stuff and amazing costume work that they do. They make all of their own stuff. Her snowflake costume was my favorite. But,
yeah, it really was.
But with everything else, you know, it's a little alternative burlesque. We use different tunes. We don't tend to use strictly like 30s, 40s, 50s music like other people do. And we tend to get a little wild. Blood involved.
Are there bottles breaking? Or
sometimes.
Actually.
Fire. There's fire. There's
fire, blood.
Lots of blood.
There is glitter. There is bottles breaking. That one show that I did, this is Wick, I broke beer bottles and then I put my face in them and I had her stand on the back of my head.
That was our very first show we actually ever did.
That was our very first show.
I was terrified and absolutely horrified by this, for the record.
It's good to go with, you know, like the tame stuff at first and then build into some of your later stuff.
That's how we work.
I guess what we do is neo-burlesque, technically. If you're really into the burlesque scene, there's a bunch of different kinds of burlesque. So as we said, there's classic. What we do is neo. So a lot of it has a lot of more modern aspects than what, you know, I usually would do. So I use Brunswick Basement to do my neo-burlesque act that I wouldn't do otherwise.
I also think some of us as performers kind of blend the two. Like, I like to... You know, say that I am a jack of all trades and can do the classic, but also can do the neo, and I kind of try to meld them into each of my acts. But yeah, probably more neo.
You're that feather fan one that's amazing. You did it at the Court Tavern last time.
Yeah, I have a couple actually now, but yeah. So I kind of try to mix the both, like the feather, big feather fans, but then more gyrating movements, I guess.
Gyrating movements.
I think you just got all the guys at gyrating.
And now you know why I work this show.
When you're not, you know, busting glass. Yeah. Now, you guys explain how you're different. How did you guys actually get started? Where did Brunswick Basement come from?
You know, the funny thing is, I was thinking about this the other day, and actually all of our regular girls that we have with us now, I met them all through Geek Girl Productions, which was a company we worked for in New York, which did like a lot of cosplay, burlesque, and other type events, hosting events, and they do a lot of movie theme ones. I think I met all the girls actually at Halloween's Horror Fest at the Bowery Poetry Club. Halloween was the MC.
It was my very first burlesque show by the way. Yes, it totally was.
That was the first time I ever did fire in front of people. I was scared I was going to burn that place down.
I wasn't in that show, but I was there. I was in the next one that they did because they had like a rotating cast. But we all of us have shared the stage before.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you guys decide that this was something that you wanted to do? How did you find it?
I just decided to do it one day. I shot everybody
online. Had you seen it before going into it? Or?
Well, I've been performing with other groups and on my own, and I was just, you know, sick of going through all the red tape you got to go through when you're, like, dealing with shows and certain states and also trying to be very vague about it. But, you know, it's a real pain, and people can be really picky for no reason. And I was like, you know, Jersey needs its own thing. It needs its own thing that's like, we are from Jersey, and it's very obvious we are from Jersey, and we're just doing it our way.
So it can get a little elitist depending on where you go.
Oh, it can, absolutely.
I liked it because, I mean, I didn't have to travel across a state line to go do a show. I do. Tolls are expensive.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But yeah, tolls are expensive. And, you know, you can only make so much in a show, and then you're like, oh yay, gas money, home.
And well, especially if you're traveling, like, bad enough you're trying to pack everyone to a car, but, you know, each performer has at least a suitcase and a giant makeup box. And you're like, okay, how are we going to fit six people in this tiny little Prius?
And then,
like,
you put me and Holly in with the giant costumes, and we take up, like, 2 to 3 people on our own. It's pretty bad.
No.
So interstate traveling becomes difficult.
Now, how far have and will you guys travel for this?
As of right now, it's just northeast of Jersey. Brunswick Basement Burlesque hasn't done New York yet, but I've already been planning and plotting. And also, I don't know how many of the girls can come.
So it's an invasion.
It is. It's a slow invasion. Soon there'll be pod people.
It's like my sex life.
Oh.
Slow invasion.
And then they wake up.
Ironically, the one person we haven't really heard much from is the MC, who's normally supposed to be talking into a mic. Yeah. I would assume, right?
Jess just pushes him to the side.
Generally, I do a lot of talking when I'm on stage. Off stage, not so
much.
I'm generally a quiet guy. That's why I started doing it, was to get out of my quiet shell.
Okay. Now, but you have, like, the greatest gig. You've got these beautiful women on stage dancing, and all you got to do is just say, here they are.
Yeah, pretty much. It's so much,
you know, fun. And realize, I mean, talk about getting out of a shell. It's got to be the greatest thing, because, you know, they're not mostly paying attention to what you're saying. They're more concerned about who's coming up next.
Yeah.
Right?
That can also be the bane of the MC, though.
Well, yes.
They want to see the girls, but part of what I do is I have to kind of stall for time so that the stage can get cleared off.
Well, we've talked about bottles breaking, right?
Yeah.
So that hasn't happened to you, right?
Bottles breaking? Yeah,
So far, they've all.
With Wick.
No.
So far, they've all been voluntary bottles breaking.
Voluntary. Yeah. Bottles
okay,
yeah.
good.
Breaking.
Good. Okay. Good.
It's wait, no. Hard.
Or so we say.
Jess, you broke a candle. Remember?
Oh
yeah. I did. I have this act with all these voodoo candles. Actually, I didn't break the candle. Holly's scythe broke the candle.
Yeah. Just listen to that sentence, though. Listen, it's Holly's scythe. Welcome to Brunswick Basement Burlesque.
And I'm in. And yes, our parents are proud.
Actually, mine is. Like, when we were in the newspaper, like, she was, like, showing it to all of her friends. It's like, look at what he did.
See, meanwhile, my family doesn't know, because I am an only child, and I think my dad would, like, chain me to my bedroom and lock me in a tower and not let me out again.
I gloss over the details.
Yeah, I kind of I travel and I perform and... That's all you get.
I dance in lots of sparkly stuff.
Well, the cosplay is a good cover for me.
Yeah.
And on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, you guys do have a show coming up in New Brunswick on Church Street, the Court Tavern. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to wind up seeing if we go out.
What is in store for you? It's actually a pretty good gig. Our buddy Johnny Bentanimo, he does like agro-acoustic folk stuff. He usually does a lot of things down the shore. He's from like central South Jersey. He's opening up the gig, and he's just entertainment and a half in his own. He's amazing.
Yes, he is.
Some crazy costumes and makeup that I've seen, like evil clown-esque some of the times. Sometimes more of a murdering zombie. It depends what he's really feeling.
Exactly what I think.
The genre, but I'm trying to wrap my head around agro-folk.
I was just going to say exactly what I think of for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check this out.
It's on Facebook on our
Valentine's Day show. And then, of course, two sets of boobs. You can't go wrong. So it's music, boobs, then more music. And then the second act that is playing is amazing as well. It's three of our buddies from Trenton, Ray Strife, Wade Wilson, and Dreddy Mercury. And they have a group called Dreadpool Parker. And it's hip-hop. It's like punk hip hop, it's amazing. I really like them. We do gigs with them in Trenton at Mill Hill Basement with Ray and Wade, and it's just an interesting cross section. And I feel like everyone just gets along really well, so we just continued with them. And this is probably like our third or fourth show with a combination of them in some way.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, and $8. I mean, come on. You really, I mean.
Can't beat it.
Exactly. No. Exactly.
That's a value and a half.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I mean, I don't see anybody going into New York and paying
like
the same
15,
or less for that.
Bucks exactly. For a show. And it's. I mean, I understand they're like, oh yeah, it's a city and our cost of living is more. And it's like, you know what, our taxes are higher and an apartment in New Brunswick costs the same as one in Manhattan. So come on.
And it's not our fault you chose to live in a City. Wait, can I say?
No, but it's all right. No. We'll just cut it out later.
Oh, okay, good, good.
The power of editing.
No, I told them in the car, I was like, the first thing I always ask when I do radio is there a 7-second delay? But this is, all right, good.
Little late on that one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Whoops.
So you guys have the show in February. How often are you guys doing shows?
Right now, we pretty much have a monthly gig at the Court Tavern. We took January off just because the weather was terrible. Everybody leaves town. They do their vacation things. But
who
since
takes January
June,
off? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's holiday.
Took January off. And because, you know,
the
we're just
joke is
too
that
much.
We did it.
Shut up, Radius Frank. We haven't even introduced you on this show yet.
But we took that. So I think pretty much since June or July, we've done a monthly at the Court. And I think since July, also at Mill Hill Basement down in Trenton. Yeah. So those are our two steady gigs. And I know we had like 4 or 5 gigs in like October and 1 week straight.
Oh, yeah. That's because of
the lanes. The lanes. We were at Asbury Lanes in October. Nice. And we did the zombie walk after party. Me and Attica got to do that. That was really fun.
Oh, my God. It was my favorite.
Keep your mouth towards the phallic object in front of you. Oh,
there's so many people watching. I'm not used to it.
She lies.
And Frank, next year we are doing the after party for the zombie walk.
Did you guys go to the zombie walk?
Oh, yeah. We were there.
You guys didn't go to the after party?
Yeah.
It was sponsored by Carrie, and it was awesome. I did the headlining act where I ended up completely covered in glittery blood.
So
there wasn't
upset.
One person who even left that venue that did not have my red glittery blood all over them.
Usually,
it's impossible to avoid glitter.
That was your day.
It was.
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little less upset that I missed it then.
Oh, my God. But it was so cool.
But that's part of the charm. Oh, awesome. So you can't be around burlesque performers.
Yes. Craft herpes.
Yep. Yeah, that's not just herpes. It's not just craft herpes. But, yeah, no, if you're around burlesque performers, I wouldn't actually be surprised if when we leave, you might find glitter somewhere. It kind of just sticks to you, and it just never comes off. Like, my boyfriend, whenever he randomly walks around, there's just like glitter on his face. Like, he doesn't even flinch anymore. He's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what show this is from. It's just it's always there.
Yeah, I come somewhere. I come with a warning every time I go on a date with a guy. I'm like, you're going to end up with glitter somewhere on you, and I'm not even wearing glitter.
I want to put
walk into the house, you walk into my car, you anything like that, you are covered in glitter.
And to case in point, I know nobody can see, but as she's talking, I see a glitter.
Oh, yeah.
Case in point, you can't even see it, and she's just talking on the radio, and there's glitter on her face.
There's glitter on my face.
Now, for the people listening, as she just mentioned, I want you to know that she said you can't see them, but the girls actually took time to get dressed and put makeup on for radio. I just want to point that
listen,
out.
Listen, we can't be.
We appreciate
that.
It.
As guys, we realize that women will go nowhere without makeup. So.
Screw that. Thank y'all.
Oh, no. I will.
They took a moment for us.
We did. Well,
thank you for putting on makeup. Have you ever seen somebody not wearing makeup? Look at us. We're horrible.
Yes, this is true.
We do radio for a reason.
Yes.
We're hideous monsters.
So
you got the face for radio.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Now let me
and
ask
the
you,
butt.
What have been some of the great perks of doing this so far?
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's a really good question. For me, one of the best perks is that like the different bands that I get to meet. I always like putting bands and doing music incorporated with the acts. I'm sorry, I'm not
it's
leaning right. towards the microphone correctly.
It's okay.
Deb is like forcing the mic into her mouth at this point. This is not good.
That didn't look like it was forced.
Evil mastermind. But
I know the problem. This is the woman that refused to put the headphones on.
This is true.
Exactly.
It's true. Sorry.
Go ahead.
But for me, I really like incorporating different things with the bands. Like my background's in music, like doing music things. When I started doing burlesque, I was actually a DJ I was DJing burlesque overseas, like different shows. And so for me, the perk is definitely the music. We did some great shows, like with the Stunt Cocks, with Barbecue Bob and the Spare Ribs, who's in great groups. And there's going to be a surprise on the 15th at the Court Tavern.
Oh, it's a surprise?
It's a surprise.
Is it a surprise?
Did you ruin the surprise?
I haven't yet, but I was going to.
We're not
going to
tell you what kind of surprise. I'm sure you can imagine on the following day.
We're
going
to have to
those
be there,
bands, those, and those bands are just off the hook. Like Bad Karma, those guys. If you want to see a good New Brunswick show, those guys are what to see.
Cool. What about the rest of you guys?
I mean, I think for me, performing with these guys, I get to perform with these guys because, like we said, we met at Geek Girl Productions like 2 years ago. Yeah, I'm going to make you look bad.
She's the sappy one. Now we found the title for her.
I thought you were going to say sassy.
No, Holly's the sassy one. You're the sappy one right now. Would you like
she's
to be
more sappy than I am.
All right, fine.
She's not here,
off.
So she can't defend herself.
I smell inner turmoil already.
Well, actually, Holly is also my troop leader for another troop I am a part of with her. But with these guys, it's just to get to perform with these guys. Because like I said, I haven't seen them for a couple years after Geek Girls kind of disbanded because of just a bunch of stuff. But I kept performing with White Elephant Burlesque Society. They're based out of New Jersey, and they do a lot of different cons and just local stuff, too. But more... we're up in this area.
Right.
And I, Holly goes by Victoria Belmont, and she runs Cosplay Burlesque. So the perks with that are different because with like webs and cosplay, I get to go to different conventions and it's fun and convenient and I get to go for free. But there's nothing like performing with these two lovely ladies and awesome guys on the side who are being very quiet right now.
There's no rules.
It's every show is so stress-free. We all are just having fun no matter what mess-ups happen. I caught myself. No matter what kind of mess-ups happen. And it's just always so much fun. Like, I always leave these shows smiling. I'm not stressed. And it makes me love performing that much more. Okay, yeah, I'm sappy. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm being honest.
And the Oscar goes to...
Esmeralda May.
It's really hard to edit myself right now.
My perks. I don't
follow that one. Oh, follow
I
that.
I got. I have nothing. I'm just gonna sound really. Oh, thanks, guys.
You like to get all pretty and glittery.
I do. For me, it's all about the rhinestones and the glitter and being able to perform. I really enjoy being able to perform in, you know, a really great place. Yeah, I don't have anything good to say about that. The perks. I get to take my clothes off and people clap. How's that?
Well, we do get free stuff talk about sometimes. Taking we your get clothes free wine and beer sometimes.
We do get free wine and beer.
The zombie king himself is kind enough to bring us free beer and wine. Yes. Jason Meehan, the guy that runs the... He's a brewer, and he's been dabbling in things. And that's definitely a perk for me.
So you're actually like the guinea pigs for them when they're trying out something new.
I will be your guinea pig. No problem.
I'll let him know you said that.
Oh, no. So we are starting to run out of time. I do want to thank you guys for coming out with us. One last thing. How do we find out more about you guys, and how do we keep up with everything you have going on?
Well, we have the Facebooks thing happening, Brunswick Basement Burlesque Facebook. We also have our individual ones. If you're more into the cosplay, you can look up either Esmeralda May or Halloween, or she does Victoria Belmont?
Victoria Belmont, yeah.
And then me and Attica have our own pages as well, either Attica Wild with an E or Just Distress. And we post a lot of gigs there. We post each other's gigs, friends' gigs, and not just strictly burlesque. We do like the DJ stuff, the band stuff. So we try to keep everybody in the loop of just things that are happening.
And are we getting a Brunswick Basement Burlesque website or...
I will make that happen soon. I do most of the things
It's because you
myself.
Said it.
Yeah. I do a lot of the things myself, and it's tough to balance everything out with my muggle job, you know. It's just.
Did you just say your muggle job?
Yes, that's actually how a lot of us refer to it as our muggle job.
See, I'm not the only nerd here. I'm not the only nerd here.
Yeah, muggle, mundane, something like that.
It's hard to explain muggle to norms.
It is, yeah. But also, cosplayburlesque.com does also feature a lot of Brunswick Basement stuff because of the crossover in performers, so that's also a good place that they post upcoming shows that we have with Brunswick Basement and stuff like that too.
I promote it on my website, theworldofwick.com, Wick spelled with a Y, W-Y-C-K, or facebook.com/theworldofwick.
He's got the cum. We don't have.
Yeah,
that.
He does.
Yeah. I've been performing.
We're
longer.
Everywhere.
I've been doing this for like 9 years.
Yay for us commies! Wait.
We do it for Mother Russia.
What?
It just took a very awkward turn.
I'm going to get investigated again.
So no, we'll definitely have to make it out there on the 14th to the Court Tavern in New Brunswick, 9:30 p.m.
Yes.
$8. Come on, guys. You can easily go out there for a great show. Guys, that is going to about do it for us. We're running out of time.
Indeed.
I am Longshot Ken.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Big Papa Pete. Thanks again to the Taffeta Darling for calling in.
And to you guys here at Brunswick Basement Burlesque.
Thank you very much.
On that note, I think that does it.
Yep.
I'm Big Papa. We just did that. I'm confused.
We're making the pretty ladies. We're distracting
you. It is the pretty ladies.
All the glitter.
I am easily distracted.
All right. Please send us out.
Loud Idiots, out.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.